Running an online business requires passion, knowledge, and a lot of dedication. Adding the complexities of setting up and managing hosting for your website piles on more work when you already have so many plates spinning. Whether you manage one WordPress website or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions give you access to a platform that's optimized for the fastest speed, has enterprise-grade security features, and is powered by an intuitive custom dashboard with everything you need to manage your sites efficiently. Plus, Kinsta provides human-only WordPress expert support, which is available 24/7, 365, to assist with even the most complex sites. Forget frustrating AI chatbots. Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. Start your journey with Kinsta today and get your first month free. Don't have time to migrate your site? Kinsta takes care of everything for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's KINSTA.com/podcast.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have built on in. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. We took last week off, which we may do a little bit more here and there during the offseason. The other two sports that we talk about on this network are live and strong, Niners,
of course,
Warriors. There's even a little bit of MMA and boxing that we've put on the channel lately. So Brad and I will be back more often than not, but there may be some weeks where there's just nothing Giants-wise going on, and we may
take those
weeks off.
Season hasn't officially ended yet. I mean, the World Series is still going on. But
Yankees are sure trying to make it end sooner than later, though.
Being a bunch of jerks right now. Much. Aaron Judge disappeared. He could have come to San Francisco and disappeared. You didn't need to stay in, you know.
Here's the thing about Judge, right? Is if he continues down this path of not hitting at all in the World Series, like, for his sake, I hope he starts to heat up a little bit, because,
well, for our sake, I hope he starts to heat up.
Both, right? But who's going to be the scapegoat for this thing? It's not going to be Carlos Rodon or Garrett Cole or Juan Soto, who they desperately want to bring back. It's the guy you're paying $350 million to, right? Like, the guy that's going to be the scapegoat.
Right now, it's Aaron Boone because of game one and throwing out Nestor Cortez.
Yeah, that was tough.
He hadn't pitched in 37 days, and they're like, hey, here's the ninth in game one of the World Series. Get these two big outs, especially get a hobbled Freddie Freeman. But, oh, God. So right now, I'm hanging it on Aaron Boone right now. So.
Well, I think he will also get a lot of the blame, but you know, the fact that the Yankees are in the World Series, majority of their fan base thinks it's in spite of him in the first place. Like, they don't think that he's a good manager anyways.
Yeah,
so
that's not going to help.
Yeah. So that's why I just, you know, for Judge's sake, man. And then, the Yankees, the game is on in the background. We both have it on in the background. Dodgers took a 2-0 lead in the first. And Clark Schmidt is on the mound. The great Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. He's trying
Clark
to stop
Schmidt.
Him.
Clark Schmidt sounds like a, I don't know. That's a comic book name. I don't think that's real.
two last names.
Yeah, right.
We'll talk a little bit more about this series. And the thing that I'm actually most interested to talk to you about is kind of like we have been there, and we're going to talk about the last time we were there because there's an important anniversary happening tomorrow or today when most people listen to this. But kind of comparing, like, okay, how far are the Giants from these teams as you're watching them? So that's kind of the way that I want to lead that discussion. We'll save that for the end. But I mentioned this great anniversary that is coming up October 29th, 2014. For those of you who are on video, you can see my shirt. Mad Bum wins game 7 or saves game 7 coming out of the bullpen to win the World Series for the Giants. I had written all about those games when they were happening. I sort of treated the playoffs in all of the times that the Giants made it to the World Series. I sort of treated the playoffs like, what if I was a reporter? Like, how would I write a gamer? And so I was writing about every single game of that playoffs, all 7 games of the World Series. We were even at, I think it was game 4. We went to game 4. And so by the time game 7 comes around, I'm like, game's over, and I'm just writing for like 2 hours after the thing. So I have something up. It was just for history's sakes, right? Yeah, but yeah. What I did was I found it and I reposted it on the BSPN media website. So you can read pretty like 99.9% of what I had written that night is on there. I edited a couple of things just to, I was like, really? Did I really write it like that? Let me change this word here. But if you want to go to the website, you could see it and kind of relive that moment. But I wanted to talk to you about that because 10 years ago is a good slice of our life, like 20% of our life, right?
And I was in my 40s.
Yeah, I was 38. I'm looking at our comments and I'm guessing there's going to be someone chatting, and this young man was probably like, possibly a teenager or maybe in his early 20s, Davis, yeah. A drip. Still remains the best pitching performance he's ever seen with Mad Bum coming out of the bullpen. So do you remember where you were, how you watched that game, who you were watching with, what room you were in, all of those details?
I do. So my wife works for the parks department here in Reno, Nevada, for our county. And there was a big, they kind of have a co-op with the Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful, and which also works with Great Basin Brewery, which is one of my favorite breweries ever. They're right here in town, make fantastic beer. Well, every fall, they make this fantastic beer with pine nuts in it, and this one had like sage, and it was the release party. And you can go and just drink all the free beer you want, and you get to leave with 2 like big gallon jugs of beer as well. I didn't go because it was game 7 of the World Series. So that tells you how important it was, because I missed this gigantic beer release party because of game 7 of the World Series. So I was like, well, I'll stay home with the kids, because the kids at that time were, I guess they were 8 and 6 at that time. So I'm like, I'll stay home with the kids. I'm going to hang out with them. I'm going to watch the World Series. So I do actually have some small videos of I was getting hyped and getting amped, and I think there was Mad Bum was just dealing, and there was like a ground ball and got Aoki out at first base, and I yelled, "You're out, Aoki!" And one of the kids had that on video, and I was just saying, with every out, I'm like, he's gonna do this. So I vividly remember that front room, and that's where I saw all 3 final game winners,
yeah,
for the Giants. What was it? Game, where do we go? 6 games in the first one, right? 4-2.
Yeah.
4 games in the second one.
Yeah.
7 games in the third one. So all of those deciders, I was in this front room to my right, between these double doors. I was sitting out there, and I've watched all 3 of those World Series championships from there. And there's a good picture of me afterwards, just like, ah, with the kids there, because I think my wife was home by that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very vivid memories of when he came in. I got up off the couch and I said, oh, we're doing this.
Do you remember the nerves, though? This.
Oh, like, God, yeah.
Because the thing about it was we knew he was going to pitch at some point. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, can Hudson give us 4? Can he give us 5? Can we stretch that so that Bumgarner only has to throw 1 or 2? You know, what? How is he going to feel? And so... I think it's in game 6, PV gets 4 outs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's it. He gets 4 outs. So he pitches an inning and a third.
And Bochy goes to the pen and we're like, what are we doing here?
And so Hudson, the Giants take a 2-0 lead. Hudson gets 5 outs. And like it's 2-2. And you're like, come on. How can you make this any harder?
Yes.
You know the Giants are only going to be good for 2 or 3 runs, and they give it to you, and then you just give it right away with your rubber arm, Tim Hudson. So I just remember the nerves of being like, oh, my gosh, like this is like the worst case scenario of how early he was going to come in. So I'll tell you where I was. Old house that I was renting in Gilroy. I'm not there anymore. Both of my parents were over. And my oldest was over. He was wearing my one of my Giants jerseys, pretty oversized for him because he was only 15. And so as we're getting to the end, what I realize is I'm getting text notifications from Alex Pavlovich's tweets. Right. You know, on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You set the notifications up as a tweet, then you get it in your phone, like as a notification in your phone.
Yep.
And so, you know, we get into that ninth inning. Who was it? Was it Juan Perez or Gregor Blanco that plays the single
Juan Perez.
Triple? Juan Perez Juan plays Perez. Single and a triple. And, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, are they going to get an inside the park or a single turned into an inside the park home run to tie this game? B. Craw gets the relay throw right as who was it? Hosmer? I think was it Hosmer who had got the hit?
Yes, it was. And they talked about should we have sent him? Should we not have sent him? But you know, that relay throw, we're thinking he probably would have been dead to rights, but we're not sure. And we're glad it was never tested.
No, it was Alex Gordon.
Oh yeah.
I just reread it. Alex Gordon gets a hit in front of Blanco. See, I have Blanco. Maybe it was Perez. Maybe I need to reread that. But I have it as
I'm pretty sure
I have it as Perez. Blanco relayed it to or Perez relayed it to Crawford. I'm gonna go find out what the actual real thing is. Yeah. And then Crawford gets the relay right as Gordon touches third. And so that would have probably ended the game, probably really smart for them to not go. And then so Bumgarner throws the pitch. Salvi Perez hasn't even swung the bat yet. And I get the notification on my phone that Pablo Sandoval caught the third out and the game is over. So I already know.
Yeah.
But my parents and my son are watching. And I can't spoil it for them. Like,
no,
they're on pins and needles. But there was a relief to me that I didn't have to sit through that drama of Pablo standing under that pop up. I was like, okay, whew, like relief, right? So,
yeah.
But that's what I remember. And I've actually talked to Alex about that because I think I did 2 or 3 podcasts with Alex back in the day with Carmen Q. Where we didn't even talk baseball. We talked to MTV The Challenge.
That's right.
And so I asked, you know, I was like, okay, I'm only going to 15 minutes of Giants questions. You know, let me ask you. So, yeah. And I told him, he's like, yeah, I've heard that from other people that I spoiled the end of the World Series for them. So, but yeah, well, what a great thing to remember, right? You are a Giants fan or a baseball, you know, you're a Giants fan. So the history of that moment is always going to be something that people remember. Like every time the World Series happens, if you get to a game 7, they're going to remind you about that moment of memorable game 7s. Bumgarner coming out of the bullpen to pitch, you know, the last several innings of that game. And so very memorable thing. And it's something that I didn't realize was sneaking up on us for the 10 year.
Yeah, but I didn't either.
It's crazy. And because so I noticed the year and I was like, wait a second, this is 10. Like, what is the actual date? And then I looked, I was like, oh, it's tomorrow. Like, we got to talk about it. So,
well, in 6 years, we're going to be coming up on the 20 year anniversary of the 2010 World Series. So hopefully in between that, now and then, we'll have another one under our belt so that we have more to celebrate going forward. But I was just looking at the recap, and you're right. So it was actually Blanco and then Perez, because Blanco came in on that ball, remember?
Yeah.
And we thought he was going to dive, and he kind of backed up and put both of his hands in front of him, and the ball skipped past him to the wall, and then Perez got after it. And that's where he went to pick it up, booted it around, dropped it, did all the other stuff that made our, you know, cornholes go like this. And we were like, what are you doing out there? If he doesn't make a great throw, and if B-Craw doesn't turn around ready to fire to home plate, I think they send him. But I mean, what a play. What a bunch of craziness.
Yeah, great memories. And the other thing about that is the Giants were the first wild card team to win the World Series as well. And throughout that entire time, Hunter Pence's sort of explanation of, you know, we just need to get there. And then if we get there, then we want to have 5 celebrations. So you celebrate when you clinch the wild card. Then you celebrate again when you win the wild card game. Then you celebrate again at the end, at the next round, and then the next round, and then the World Series. 5 celebrations. So
5 celebrations, and they got it, man. And you always forget. I mean, I don't really think about it. I guess now it's getting time to reflect on those 3 World Series titles, because for a while we were kind of hanging on to those 3 World Series titles.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, this team, and, you know, if they can put pieces in and they could do different things. 21 was a bit of that, because you had those pieces still kind of hanging on, and then they had career years, Buster, Brandon, the other Brandon, you know, so you have the Brandons and you have Posey. And at that point, I'm trying to remember, 21, Bumgarner was gone, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was gone. But you still had the 3 pieces kind of left hanging. So there was a little bit of that. And then over the last few years, now it's turned into kind of reflection time. So you look back and you go, man, Hunter Pence is a 2-time World Series champion. We had him that long. We had him long enough where he actually won 2 titles. He was the Reverend in 2012 that kind of, you know, kickstarted the comebacks for all of those series. And then in 2014, he was kind of the catalyst. I mean, he had a lot of great stuff happening.
There now the yes movement when he was
the yes movement,
his hands, all, you know, the fingers and doing the yes chants.
Now, the 3 bat hit, right? That was in 2012 against the Cardinals, right?
Cardinals,
the broken bat, 3, you know, that gave that English on that ball to shortstop, ended up driving in, I don't know, however many runs. And then they were up like 6-0 at that point.
Yeah, that was the rain game, too, because I'm in San Francisco in my office watching. And then, you know, once they got a formidable lead, I was like, okay, I can actually leave and listen to this on the way home. And I was having to catch the BART in the rain and drive home in the rain and listen to the end of the thing in the rain. Good memories. But we should talk about what is happening today. And you wanted to talk about the GM situation, which, you know, like you said, the end of the season is upon us, and you would think that they want their GM sort of locked in. So I'm hoping that we hear sooner than later about the possibility of who's going to join the front office. Now, I saw a list of, well, maybe,
because that was the whole thing today. When I texted you, I said, you'd think we'd be a little bit closer. You'd think we'd hear a little bit more. And on my desktop of my Mac, I've got a feed of Giants stories.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I just go through
refresh each of those.
I look through them all. I see what they're talking about. Like McCovey Chronicles has a player review today of Hayden Birdsong. The Chronicle has pros and cons of the Giants pursuing Juan Soto. This stuff is going to be absolutely beaten to death over the next couple of weeks. But if we had a GM in place,
yeah,
you could go ask him. That would, or her. I mean, that would be the that would be the thing. So I kind of feel like as Giants fans, I think we're getting a little antsy. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm getting antsy. I would love to have a GM in place so that we can start getting sound bites and ideas of the direction this team might be going. I mean, we kind of know from Buster, and we kind of know. I mean, what do we have? Five starters locked in, right? You got Patrick Bailey. You're going to have Tyler Fitzgerald at second or short. You got Chapman. So that's three. You got Jung-Hoo Lee. You've got Elliot Ramos. That's four. And let's throw Yaz in there in right field as your fifth starter. So you got five guys locked in. You just, you've got four in the lineup at DH plus three positions that you really kind of have to work with. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, but I'd like a GM.
Yeah, so
yes,
not that we know who all of these people are. I would, you know, if we wanted to know who every GM was, I'd probably bring back Jarrett Seidler to talk about them. But Alex Pavlovich, as of a couple weeks ago, about 12 days ago, he put out a list of possible GMs. Billy Owens, who is a Bay Area native. He went to Bellarmine High School out here in San Jose. I remember him because he was a big high school prospect kid from Bellarmine a couple years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been with the A's. He's been assistant GM with the A's. He's been a hitting coach in the minors. He's been a scout. And one of the things that Alex mentioned as far as what the best possibility is for this position as someone with a scouting background, and you know, I think the other guy who we've been talking about, what's his name, Jeremy Shelley,
mm-hmm.
has maybe the contract know-how, maybe some of the other things that you would want in a GM. So if that person who they want to bring in lacks some of that stuff, maybe Jeremy Shelley can help out with that. So Billy Owens has a lot of those things that Buster said that he wanted. There's another person by the name of Ross Fenstermaker. He is with the Rangers, assistant GM with the Rangers. So he's kind of gone from soup to nuts in that organization, I guess, not unlike Jeremy Shelley. Jeremy Shelley's been with the Giants for a long time, three decades, right, coming from the intern position. And then there's a bunch of others, including Kim Ng, who we've talked about, and we kind of wondered if she wanted to be second in command or not, because she left the situation in Miami where, you know, they were going to hire someone above her.
Right.
So
it would be the same situation. So,
right. So there's James Harris in Cleveland. There are some other folks from the Tampa organization, Carlos Rodriguez. Not, you know, not that I know who any of these people are. I would just hope that the Giants themselves lock somebody in before this period where the new season turns over. And I'm going to guess that, unless this is just a flawed situation, I'm going to guess that that is probably the you know, the goal. But still, you know, we're in game three here, and Dodgers, if they win tonight, they would only need to win one more game and season is over. So right, let's get this person locked in, whoever it is. But we haven't heard anything in like the last 12 days. So yeah, that is kind of the worry. And that was your worry from this morning.
Yeah, pretty much. And again, you know, just to reiterate, I really want to see, you know, the direction.
Yeah, what's the regime?
And yeah, exactly. And I guess maybe what we're getting out of this is the fact that it's possible, you know, this person is maybe with the Dodgers. And so maybe it's going to take a little bit longer because you need this, you need the series to end, the season to end, everything else to happen.
We're getting Farhan back going Dodger. Yeah, with the Dodgers, right. Again.
They're going to get Friedman. They're going to get, yeah, right. They're just going to go steal Friedman from the Dodgers. And then that'll be it. But
yeah, he, I'm sure he wants to work underneath Buster.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so, you know, the free agent market, this is an early look at some of the free agents. And I just wanted to glance through Maria Guardado's list that she posted. I think this goes in tomorrow's newsletter. So she puts out a newsletter and she just went through, I think she went through like the top eight who could be on the Giants radar. And number one is obviously Juan Soto. Now, the Dodgers are said to also be very high on one Juan Soto, as you'd imagine. Now, why can they do that? Probably because Shohan took so much deferred money. That's probably why they can do it. Yeah. Are they going to be able to get Juan Soto to take the deferred money? I don't imagine so. But he's number one on the list. And then it's like everyone else is so far below him when it comes to the impact. If you were to put a percentage, because, you know, we've been talking about Juan Soto on this podcast for 3 years.
Yeah.
There was a time, I would say earlier this year, where we were like, you know what? They actually have a half decent shot. And it seems like that shot is as small as it's ever been now.
Yeah.
What percentage would you be?
That's a tough one because I want to go low, right? I want to say 5%, 10%.
Yeah, but I was thinking 10 too.
But when it comes down to it, that's you're basically saying you're one of 10 teams. I don't think there's going to be 10 teams in on Juan Soto.
So that's why I'm going to agree. It's going to be the Yankees, right, the Dodgers, and us. Like, I don't think San Diego. Well, maybe San Diego will be back.
I think
in,
San Diego might get. I would put us at a 25-30% chance. You know what I mean? And I think I would put the Yankees like the majority of that, probably like. But I don't know. No, I'm going to go lower. I'm bad at math, but I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go 15%. I'm going to say the Yankees probably have like a 60% chance. The Dodgers, I don't even know if the Dodgers can be in on him unless he's willing to take another deal like Shohei. But then in 10 years, the Dodgers are going to be paying a bunch of ghosts. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's where their payroll is going to be. So I don't even think the Dodgers are going to be in it. I think, who did you say? You said the Yankees,
Dodgers, and Padres were the ones that I thought.
I think
you know what? The team that we missed, the Mets are probably number two.
The Mets. Yeah. Mets are number two. So Yankees, Mets, I bet the Red Sox jump in because they want a piece of Juan Soto. They don't want him in New York. Just like if the Dodgers go after him, we're going to go harder, right? I mean, you can't. And so are the Padres. Just like the Padres jumped in at the last minute with Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
You don't want him to go in your division. So, yeah, I'd go closer to like 15%. So, yeah.
We've talked about this. Does Buster Posey being so involved help them in this scenario? Does his name mean anything to Juan Soto?
It gives us a couple more percentage points than Farhan did, I think. Right? I mean, it's got to, because and not just because of Buster Posey's name, but I think because of the people he's going to get in the room with Juan Soto. It's, you know, it's going to be a different. It's you're going to have an actual GM. If you get somebody charismatic and good and a baseball dude like Billy Owens in that room. But again, that's the hard part too. Whatever GM you get, if it's not Shelley, if you're getting somebody else, they haven't been in the Giants organization unless you got Billy Owens in there with Brian Sabian and Evans.
Have the A's sought after for Billy Owens to be in any of those conversations? None.
That's the thing.
Go after anybody. Yeah.
That's the thing. So it's going to have to be like Sabian, Evans. I Dusty Baker. It's gonna have to be like,
yeah,
people who can then work for the Giants as you know, assistants and what do they call that position, where Dusty Baker is consultant.
He's like a consultant, but they have a different name for it. But, okay, so and here's the other thing, right? We tried to bring Rich Aurelia into the Judge talks, and that really didn't matter. Judge just wanted to get the most money possible out of the Yankees, from what we understand. That's kind of how it was resolved. But what does Juan Soto? I'm assuming Juan Soto wants the same. You know, he wants to get the most money out of a place. New York just seems like such a great fit for him. But
yeah,
I was talking to a Mets buddy my buddy Corey, and he thinks that the Yankees are actually more strapped for cash. So if they actually got into a bidding war, he thinks the Mets would actually be able to bid more money for Soto. And if it came down to the bottom line, to the bottom dollar, then he thinks that they could outbid, and they could because of their owner.
Yep.
That they could outbid the Yankees. Now, and that's where the Giants have to just be so budget averse, I guess, to just go, yeah, the Yankees offered you $650. What would it take for the Giants to get him? Like $100 more million? Would they even do that? I have no idea. That's the part where the economics of this thing are so out of control. But I'm with you. I think 15% is probably where 10 to 15 is probably where I would say too.
Yeah. If Shohei is $700 million, you can't go over that, right? Because he's not a pitcher. I mean, I know it's a year later, but you can't say, I mean, if the Giants gave him if they had to go $750 to get him, how old is he going to be?
He's 25 right now.
Yeah, so he's going to start at 26. You're going to have to, I mean, starting at 26, you're going to have to give him a 14-year deal. Right? I mean, seriously, because if somebody comes in at a 10, he's going to be like, so I'm a free agent at 36 years old? I don't want that.
See, I don't think that, I think these MLB players need to think much more like the NBA contracts. I wouldn't go more than 5. Because I would want to get out. I mean, unless you have the option.
Yeah, if you're in a bad situation, right? And the team's not winning and they're not building around you and you're stuck there for 14 years.
Or what if the market just goes even more insane? Like Bryce Harper is locked in, right?
Right.
What is Bryce Harper now? The 10th highest paid player, 15th highest paid player? I'm sure he would like to opt out and get back to being 1 or 2. In the market, right? Because that's how this thing works.
But his body is breaking down.
Yeah.
He's
essentially a DH first baseman now.
Yeah, they had to put him at first base. So now your value has dropped. So maybe he is playing for his worth at this point.
I mean, Ohtani is essentially a DH and he just hurt his shoulder. He's
playing again. He's playing like 2 days later. So
he grounded out in his second at bat. And as he was running back to the dugout, he's like holding his arm tight to his body. Oh, like either he's selling it or he's hurting. And it's crazy that he's playing.
Yeah. My wife and I, we were out. So our anniversary was yesterday on Sunday.
Congratulations.
So the night before. Oh, thank you. So we didn't want to go on a Sunday night because I'm an old guy. And she's a young chick. So I didn't want to go out on a Sunday night. So we went on Saturday night and, the 18-year-old's out. She's not living here. And the 16-year-old was at a friend's house doing, pumpkin carving contest or whatever. So we're like, let's go out. So we went out and had a really nice dinner at this place, just super awesome place. Then we go to a wine bar afterwards. And there's two other people in this wine bar, and we love this place because nobody knows about it. So we're sitting there. I get the Pinot Noir wine flight, and I'm sitting there, and we're drinking. And we're having a good time when we're talking. All of a sudden, I look up at the TV that they have behind the bar, and Shohei is just holding his arm. And they're walking him off the field. I go, oh, my God. Are the Dodgers just about to lose the World Series? Like, what happened here? And it looked so bad, and I don't have any sound, so I don't know what's going on. And I'm off of Twitter. I'm not on Twitter anymore. So then I get home, and you start looking at the news, and he's fine. He'll play tomorrow. I go, that looked like his arm fell off. Like, what the hell just happened? And sure enough, here he is playing 2 days later. So
Davis makes a great point, actually. He said that this offseason shows that they can't really do that NBA approach. Well, here's what I'll say about that. And I kind of agree with what Davis said.
Yeah, for sure.
Pitching is a little bit different because of the injury factor. I think if you're a pitcher, you do want to lock in a long-term deal. But let's say you are Juan Soto. What is the risk of Juan Soto to get some sort of career-ending injury in baseball? Probably not that high. His statistics may fall off in some way. And that is the risk would be he's not as good of a player in 5 years as he is today. And so then if he goes back out to the market, then he may not hit those high dollars. But if he's in his prime at 30, 31, and he opts out, whatever the top dollar is for the next 5 years, he'll get that. And that's because that's the way that the NBA works. But if you are a pitcher, I would agree, you know, go long term as much as you can, because pitching injuries are funky. And but then again, as you saw, the teams aren't necessarily willing. Like we'll see what happens with Blake Snell this year. But if I'm a team with a, you know, who is in the services for Blake Snell, I look at the first 2 months of the season and I go, do we really want to go through this dance every year where you're slow starting and then, you know, finishing great when the games may not matter as much as they do right in the beginning? So that'll be an interesting thing. But you know, there are other pitchers like Blake Snell who are out there with similar worries. I think like Max Fried is also out there.
Right.
So,
well, yeah. And then you got Garrett Cole, who's going to be out there as well. That's another guy who's getting up there in age. But I've got a question for you too on Juan Soto. So he's 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Giants sign him long term. Do you think they can sign him long term and say you're going to be our DH? You've seen him play right field, right?
Yeah.
We have Mike Yastrzemski.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are frustrated with Yastrzemski. His OPS is fine. His OPS plus is good. His right field play is gold glove caliber. And
yeah,
we know that because this is the second time he's been in the final three for a gold glove award in right field. So can you sign Juan Soto as a DH and expect to pay him less? Do you think a DH would make less money than a DH right fielder? And so the question on that is, I wonder if he said, I need to play right field this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is my only year in New York. I just got traded. It's my contract year. I don't want to be a DH. I need to hit and play right field to show that I'm 25 years old. I can still play outfield. My worth is higher than just being a DH and a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends on... I think it depends on how important that is to him. Because what you can basically say is you're going to play right field for sure, and you're also going to DH for sure. And we have a good right fielder who is maybe going to, you know, play some late innings, but he's not the hitter that you are. So you're going to be in there all the time.
Right.
And you can let us know when you need a break and when, you know, and when you want to DH and kind of how you want to manage this. And Yastrzemski is a long time platoon guy, so he understands how to do this. But maybe Soto's just like, yeah, this is actually kind of cool. I just want to do what Shohei was doing and I'm just going to hit.
Yeah, right.
Because I figured out how to do this. It does make his value higher, I think, by playing the outfield. So maybe that is also sure something. But if you get locked in long term, do you really care that much? I don't know. That's an interesting question with the way that the DH is used in both leagues now, because that is part of the situation.
I just wonder if teams could come in and say, hey, look, we can't use you in right field, but we can use you as a full-time DH, but we can't pay you as a DH right fielder. Somebody else is going to pay him as a DH right, or, you know, DH slash right fielder, mostly right fielder. But if the Giants came in and said, you're going to be DH, you don't have to worry about getting hurt in right field. We've got right field covered. You're going to DH against righties and lefties. You can play 162 games if you want. That's fine. You are our full-time non-platoon DH for this amount of money, and it's a little bit less than the other. Is that enticing where you're like, oh, well, there's a chance I'm not going to get hurt diving for a ball yeah. or hitting that dang brick wall in right field at Oracle or running into the arcade and the chain link fence out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's just one of those things I think about sometimes because, you know, gosh, if I was a not good outfielder and I could just hit all the time and still get paid close to the same amount, I think I might take that.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the market shifts to where they just pay you what your value is no matter what because they want you that bad.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yaz is what, 34?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, he's not going to be around a ton longer. So I think you're going to have to look at a point where you say Juan Soto is 25. He can play right field in a year or two or whatever. So I don't know. Things to think about.
So the other, I'll quickly go through the other people on Maria's list.
Oh, there's more.
We've talked about both of these guys. She has Willy Adames as the number two. And she has Ha-Seong Kim as number three. So we kind of went back and forth with those guys. You like Adames a little better. I like Kim a little better. Yeah. Number four was Corbin Burnes, who is in his he's going to be 30 years old. I'm assuming he's going to make lots and lots of bank this summer, this fall. No, it's actually winter. What am I thinking? It's already going to be fallish November. Spring. Jesus.
Well, I would love to go back to, remember when Curt Schilling was invited to, what was his name? What was the Boston Red Sox owner back in the day? John Henry. John Henry invited Curt Schilling to his house for Thanksgiving dinner, and the deal got done. That's what I miss. Remember? And then I remember back in the day, the guys were like, I want to be signed by Christmas. I want to know where I'm going to go before Christmas because I want to enjoy my holidays.
And because you got to start sort of figuring out what to do with your home and moving your family
for your kids. And there's a lot that goes into it. So let's get back to that.
And then number five is Blake Snell. We've done that dance. We know what to expect. I don't know what Buster thought of him kind of just going, sorry, guys, I'm not pitching that last start. You know, I'm good. You guys can throw a bullpen game there. Well, and then you have Max Fried at number six. Max Fried is a year younger than Snell. Obviously not as dynamic as Snell. Christian Walker, seven, and Paul Goldschmidt, eight. And mentioned that
Goldschmidt off that list.
Well, he would be a stopgap for Eldridge, right? Both Walker, because Walker's 33.
Give me Walker, though.
Goldschmidt is 37. Now, their numbers, Walker clearly had the better season. Goldschmidt's power numbers were okay, but they're just declining, and you imagine they're declining faster, at this rate. But you're just trying to put
him in Oracle with declining power numbers. Give me Christian Walker, who had a down season.
Yeah,
who would want to have one season? I know Oracle is not going to pump your numbers. We just talked about that, but you stick him in there, and at least he can hit, 30 to 33 home runs and say that translates somewhere else at huge numbers. You put them in Fenway or whatever it is, because there are a lot of people that need first basemen.
So. Yeah. So that is the list. Maybe we'll do some more comparisons like we did with Adames and Kim. I think the problem with doing the Goldschmidt and Walker one is we're both going to want Walker. So maybe that's not necessarily a discussion. Yeah. All right, let's get to this World Series. Just kind of disappointing if you are anybody but a Dodgers fan, I'm sure.
Right.
But I wanted to get your thoughts on this list because I found this list from Front Office Sports, and they had the 10 biggest contracts in the 2024 World Series. And I looked at this list and I was like, huh, the Giants would have one guy on this list, I believe, as far as the biggest contracts. So LA has 6 of the 10, and New York has 4 of the 10. So I'll read them off. Shohei, $700 million for 10 years. Mookie Betts, $365 for 12 years. Aaron Judge, $390 for 9 years. Giancarlo Stanton, $325 for 13 years. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, $325 for 12 years. Gerrit Cole, $324 for 9 years. Carlos Rodon, $162 for 6 years. Freddie Freeman, $162 for 6 years. Will Smith, $140 for 10 years. And Tyler Glasnow, $136 for 5 years. So I think the Matt Chapman contract is the only one that would show up in the vicinity of this list. Jung-Hoo Lee is kind of further below that. And then Logan Webb is way, way beneath these numbers.
Is this AAV?
It looks like it is overall.
Overall, okay.
So Chapman is what, 150? I think he's with 150 for 5 years or something like that. Yeah. So he would be right near he'd be above the Will Smith contract. But, you know, when I looked at this list, I was like, okay, so what do I learn from these numbers? And I think what you learn is the Farhan route was good for building around superstars. Right. But if that was your lean, and if that was kind of your strategy with most of the players because you couldn't get the stars, you're done. And we saw the Tigers, the Royals, those are small market teams, the Twins, small market team, the Guardians, smallish market team, Brewers, smallish market team. Those teams, had pieces and in some cases built through the farm system, like Bobby Witt Jr. Like Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the top 5 players in all of baseball. And yeah. So if you can find the great prospect who becomes a great player and becomes the centerpiece, yeah, then maybe you can kind of put these fringe players around him. Or if you pay out for a big time superstar, and then maybe you can fit some of these fringe players around it. But what this is saying to me is you go for the superstars, and that's your way to constantly compete. And the Dodgers have been in the playoffs, what, every year since like 2017 or something like that. And they have a star heavy payroll. I don't think the Giants will be there. They may have to do the thing where they get really lucky with a prospect, or they get lucky with one bat and then they find some pieces to build around. But man, it just tells me that in order to be competitive, you got to be in the running for these guys. And if we are in the running for Soto, but then we're not in the running for Pete Alonso, or, you know, you're in the running for Judge, but you miss out on some of these other guys, I think they have to kind of be in the running for most of these big time players and just hope that you hit one or two, and that kind of sets you in the right direction. And when you become this winning organization that attracts other players, this right-handed hitters Death Valley thing does hurt them. We know that it hurts them. Yeah. And you've made this comment that, well, the flip side should also be true, that the starting pitching should be so beneficial that we should be able to bring in the great starting pitching, but they haven't been able to do that either. So I'm not sure why one way is the rule and then the opposite is not the rule. But that is my, just looking at that number, I was like, man, these teams spend crazy amounts of money and they take chances. They don't hit on every one of them, because I'm sure the Dodgers are looking at that Glasnow contract and going like, oh my God, like this guy's not even on this roster. But when you have Mookie Betts and Shohei, those are two of the best 5-10 players in baseball. To have two of them on your roster, you're not guaranteed to be great, but dang, man, you're more than halfway there, I think.
Well, and the Guardians were the odd man out when it came to the, the final four, basically, this season in baseball, because you had the the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Mets are in the top five payrolls. So you're right. I mean, you want a top payroll that's going to get you probably a lot of wins, because the Phillies were up there as well, but they got beat by the Mets. Again, another team with a top payroll. But, you know, thinking more also about, and I know this was also Farhan's ideas too back in the day, but when you think more about the pitching, it's like, yeah, we should be able to lure that pitching. We should be able to say, Garrett Cole, come pitch here. You know, whoever else, come pitch here. Snell, come pitch here for a long time. But I think also that the philosophy for Farhan for years too was, we can, and you can tell by the draft, because you can tell how many pitchers they drafted versus position players. Mm-hmm. And they said, we'll just draft a ton of pitchers. You can make mistakes at Oracle and get away with it. So if we have some younger guys that we can mix with, you know, Gausman, we can mix with Rodon, this and that, then we can, you know, kind of get along with the pitching, and then we can save our money and go after hitters, which failed with Correa and the ankle gate. Well, let's just call it ankle gate. So you had Correa, you had Judge, you had Harper, all these guys that you tried to get offensively. If the Giants could have gotten those guys, two of those guys, then you can do that pitching philosophy. But instead, at some point, you got to shift and say, okay, look, if we can score four runs a game, but our pitching is locked down, lights out, and we put all of our money into pitching, then we can win 2010 style, 2012 style. Then we can do that. But I don't know. I mean, it like you said, yeah, you pay big money, you're probably going to win, but you are going to falter at points again, because look at the Phillies. They put a lot of money into that roster, and another big-time money team beat them. So if you're the Giants and you start putting a ton of money into a roster, you still have to face the Mets. You still have to face the Dodgers, but at least you can compete at that point when you get to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Long road ahead.
Yeah, it just makes the job that Buster has to do, it just makes it seem even bigger than I realize. Now, you know, I knew going into this World Series what it really meant, but when you put those numbers out there on paper, and I go, oh my gosh, the Giants, they have one guy who would even be on this list.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see how many, you know, I don't know what kind of payroll they're going to have. I don't know if they're going to be able to do these funky deferments like the Dodgers have been able to do. The Dodgers, the dandy team that everyone wants to play for right now, which, as much as I hate them, I kind of envy them in that way, because they're going to always have the pick of the litter when it comes to free agency. Who doesn't want to play in LA? Who doesn't want to play for a franchise that goes back to Brooklyn, you know, so far? The Giants are in that history aspect of it too, but for whatever reason, the sexiness of the two areas does not exist for the Giants. And you know, it also me, and maybe this was part of Buster's allure, or the allure of the job for Buster, which is, yeah, it's kind of hard, it's challenging, you know, it's gonna be a hard solution. You're gonna have to work hard to figure it out, but if you figure it out, then you just add to that legendary resume. And the dude's going to be a famer already, Hall of Famer. And what if he's a Hall of Fame executive as well? That'll be nuts.
You want a competitor in that spot, and that's what we're getting. So it's going to be interesting to see. Does he have the skills to do that position? We know he has the competitiveness. We know he has the drive. So it's going to be now a matter of, does he have the skills? Does he have the people picking skills to put, you know, the personnel around him that's going to help this team just kind of go far. So I'm excited. I'm ready. I want a GM. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as it is now, the Dodgers are up 3-0 as we're recording, and I think it was a safety squeeze. I don't think it was an actual squeeze, but there was a bunt with the runner on third, got blocked at home, was called out. They're on replay right now. Dave Roberts is going crazy. Like, yeah.
Stop it, Dave Roberts. It's the ball. You can block the play once you have the ball, right?
Yeah,
you don't have to give a lane at that point. But
so
looks like he's out.
You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The Yankees do not have a lot of fight. There's a lot of game left, though. Aaron Judge needs to wake up, or he's going to be a very sad person with the fan base over the winter.
You know, a storyline going into this World Series was, as you get further in Game 3, Game 4, and whatnot, the Yankees hitters are going to see these Dodger relievers more and more and more. But they saw Flaherty go, seven innings. And I think Dave Roberts knew that and said, hey, the less they have to see our relievers, the better we're going to be in games 4, 5, 6, if we go that far, you know? So I don't know, a little bit of strategy there. Oh, after further review, he's out.
Yeah.
So
go stew, Dave Roberts.
Go get angry, Dave. I thought he was going to come out and argue the fact that he blocked the play, but no, I didn't want to bother with that.
Go get your iPad and figure out the next thing you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Have AI, Dodger AI tell you how to manage your team.
Dodger AI.
Oh, no. This is bad news.
By Apple AI?
Yeah. This is bad news. Cortez is coming into the game.
The
guy who gave up the Freddie Freeman Jack.
We would have called that dude back in the day with a mustache like that?
What would you call
easily him? Would have called him Nestor the Molester, right? I mean, that's anytime you got a mustache like that, that's how that
works.
But it's 2024, so I'm not going to say
that. He can't have that nickname in 2024. For like my kid who, you know, he's born in this culture, he would go, he would say, I forgot, one time I called somebody, there's a Warrior player, he's not in the Warriors anymore, but his name is Lester Quinones, and I was like, oh yeah, Lester the Molester. And he's like, no, stop it. It was like the worst thing in the world. I was like, okay, sorry, gosh. I didn't know that was like the worst thing I could possibly say.
Yeah, I say stuff too. My 16-year-old looks at me, I go, what? What's the problem? I don't get it.
Oh, all right. Well, we are done here. It's always good to be back. Once this World Series wraps up, look, I'm fine. This thing goes to 7 games because that would mean that the Yankees have a shot. I don't need the season to end. Plus, you know, I want Major League Baseball to get all the ad revenue from this World Series. It's good for the sport to take advantage of these two teams playing. But if there is any Giant stuff, we will be back next week. Otherwise, we'll probably be on an every other week performance here.
I think when we come back, if we come back next week on Monday, we are in a new season because a potential game 7 would be Saturday night. And I think the season begins, the new season begins
the next
24
day.
Hours after the end of the series. So
And if there is good reason, we will be back. But if not, we will not take off more than one show. We may go to an every other week cadence until we get closer to spring training, but if there is something to talk about, we'll be back.
It's all going to be dictated by what Buster Posey does.
Yeah, if Buster's just coming out and just calling guys and, you know, don't be a coward, come to San Francisco, like that's his new slogan,
we may be here 2 days a week,
man. exactly
going after it, so,
All right, that is it from here. For Brad, I'm Double G. Remember the Bumgarner.
Yes.
All right, check out my article on bspnmedia.com 10 years later. All right, we'll see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.